Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line-Em, along with Tyler Zuli, we're with you until 4 o'clock here on this Sunday afternoon of Memorial Day weekend. And as I was talking about those different Big Five kind of crazy stats that were in this Philly Voice article, it also pointed out the Hawks' perfect season was on there. I forget why. Well, they were led by two first-rounders in Delonte West and Jameer Nelson. But when I saw their names in that article, it did remind me the passing of Eddie Sutton, former coach of Oklahoma State, among other institutions. Kentucky was at once. Arkansas he was at. But Oklahoma State, he was in his 14th season the year that his Oklahoma State team, led by John Lucas III, beat the Hawks, who had had a perfect regular season at 27-0 and earned a number one seed in the tournament, beat them on a last second shot, Eddie Sutton's team did, in the Elite Eight. And that kept the Hawks from going to the Final Four. And in the Final Four, Eddie Sutton's group fell to Georgia Tech. But isn't that all came around in one full circle there? And I thought, as soon as I saw Eddie Sutton's name, I said, I wonder if he was still coaching, because I couldn't remember what year he had stepped down as Oklahoma State's coach. But he was there for the 03-04 season, and that was one of his three trips to the Final Four over his illustrious coaching career. All right, also on this day in history, in 2016, the Oklahoma City Thunder took a 3-1 series lead in the Western Conference Finals over the Golden State Warriors. And lo and behold, they would not make it to the NBA Finals because the Warriors came back and won three straight. Jay is with us in Cheltenham. Jay, you remember that series?
What's up, D?
What's going on? How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I was just thinking while you were running down the stats about the St. Joe's, about the perfect season. Don't forget Mr. Marvin O'Connor, who was also on that team.
No, he wasn't on the perfect team.
On the perfect? You said 02, 03, no?
No, I said 03, 04.
03, look at, you know what, D? If anybody would have the stat correction, I would expect that to be you.
No, I thought of. I do love talking about Marvin because a lot of people don't remember what he went out and did against Stanford in the NCAA tournament. And he came back the following year, but unfortunately, the team wasn't as good that following year. And I don't know how that impacted what would happen with his future professionally.
Yeah. I thought about Marvin because, and I did have a point about the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fine.
I thought about Marvin because he came out to the Salvation Army one time. We had a brother that went to church with us who had a connection with him, and I just remember him going on a fast break and dunking on one of my friends on a fast break in a pickup game. I was like, "Whoa, Marvin, calm down, brother! It's a pickup game."
Wow.
But Marvin, he brought the house down on my friend, and we all laughed about it. But, you know, I was thinking about that Oklahoma City playoff series. I remember Clay just going wild. He was throwing up bombs from everywhere.
Well, he definitely in that game five, if I have this correct, I think he had 41. It was either game five or game six.
He was launching from everywhere.
And he made 11 threes.
And throw them right in.
Yep.
He was throwing bombs. But it got me to thinking while you were making your point, what do we have to do to get this team, our team, to that point where we have two stars that can put the team on their back in the playoffs? That's what I'm looking for. You got two stars that want it, and I'm looking at our team. We got two stars, and I don't know if they want it. I just really don't know if they have the mentality to win in the playoffs. I don't even have them getting past the first or second round, even if we result, because I don't see the mentality.
Yeah, I will say this. When I go and I looked back at these Thunder box scores from this particular, the Western Conference Finals of 2016, I said it sure as heck wasn't because Durant and Westbrook didn't do their part. They did. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? At least when you look at the box score. So
yeah, but I feel like our issue is because our stars won't do their part.
Right. Okay, so you'll say, like, if we went and looked at a box score Well, I guess we could look at Game 7 of last year. You're going to see that Kawhi took a lot of shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
I was fine with that, but what about the game when... what about the non-scoring threat that Ben Simmons was, and what about the game when Joel had 11?
Yes, no, I totally agree with that. I would say that if I have a healthy Joel Embiid, I would be interested in seeing his ability to perform in a postseason setting.
But, D, you know why that was hard for me to take the lack of performance in Game 7 from Embiid? Because the game we won, the last game here in Philly, what was Game 6 that he won? He was dunking on everybody, catching fast breaks and just... I remember one play, fast break after fast break, Embiid running the floor, nothing wrong with him, dunking on everybody. And then when we need you the most,
right,
you're going to give us, this horrible performance.
Then go be a leader. I hear you. I often say that I don't know if I'm totally true on this, because obviously back in the day, Shaq gave you unbelievable dominant performances at the center position. But I do think it is different. Kawhi can put the ball in his hands, right? He can make the play off the dribble, whatnot. Embiid and any other dominant center does need somebody working with them to understand, to feed him the ball, to get him the ball where he wants to go.
So I guess my question is, and I would love to hear what y'all have to say, what do we have to do to get this team, whether it's, is it the mentality of the two stars? Is it we got to do a little tweaking with the bench? What is it that we have to do to get to that place where we can be talking about a memorable Eastern Conference Finals series?
Well,
I
agree with you that there is a mentality that has to be there for sure. Is it there? I don't know that we've seen it in the way that I need to see it. That grow over time? I don't know. Obviously, I have used The Last Dance as an example to see when Jordan had killer instinct dating back to college. That's just true. And then when he talks about, his upbringing and the way his father was hard on him, I think that fueled his fire. Right. So I don't know that I've seen the Embiid who is boisterous on social media at times. I've seen him try to get under people's skin on a court, like a Marcus Smart in one particular game that Smart got
Embiid
tossed.
Is not a killer to me. Damian Lillard is like...
Right, because he makes shots in those... And that's one of the things I was talking about, the documentary from PG County yesterday. And one of the things... I had no idea Villanova's Chris Jenkins was from PG County, but he is. They talked about the shot that he had to make in the Villanova championship game. He's like,
over North Carolina.
Right. He says, when you're from PG County, you've had to make that shot so many times, because if not, you weren't getting back on the court for another week, if that. So, but you saw the killer instinct in these different interviews. And I would agree with you. I haven't seen it to the level that I know people would like to see it in their two leaders of the Sixers.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. I agree with you, Jay.
Yes. Yes. And that's it. That's all I want to see. Yep.
I hear you, Jay. I do hope we get to see some NBA basketball before the summer's over.
Yeah, hopefully MB can get some heart.
All right. we'll look forward to it. Jay,
all
thank
right,
you.
Take care, y'all.
I always appreciate it. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. I got to go back. Marvin O'Connor, I think he was 2 years before that. In that case, I'll have to look who was on the roster with him, but he was definitely not on the 03-04 team that went 27-0, but he was on a very good team that went out and played Stanford. It was a West Coast bracket, and so I believe it was a late night game. I do remember, but I've given the stats before. He played out of his mind, and it was a Sweet 16 game for the Hawks. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with AJ in West Philly. AJ, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, what's up, dude?
What's going on?
Very much, man. I'm glad y'all was talking about the Sixers. I hope everybody's doing good, doing safe. But we got that basketball itch, man. This should be around playoff time for the finals. Man.
No, I know. Can you believe it? So much time has passed. I can't even believe we're almost in June.
Yeah. Now I read an article about a proposed trade with the Kings, and this is somebody made it up. It's not real, but they sent Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, and Zaire Smith
for Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield and Harrison Barnes and Corey Joseph. At first, I hated the trade because, you know, getting rid of Tobias, I think he's going to be a staple here. But I started realizing Corey Joseph will be great. You know, that's a benefit that we don't have in that type of player. And also with Buddy Hield, remember how J.J. Redick and Marco Bellinelli stressed the defense and they had that pick and roll with Embiid. How could you see Buddy Hield playing that role that Bellinelli and Redick played?
Well, let's see. I'd have to go and make sure I have Buddy Hield's current shooting stats. I think of it, like Redick's in a different level to me as a consistent three-point shooter. I mean, people might not like defensively what he brings enough, but I think he's money from three-point, and I love his work ethic in terms of having that routine. So I don't put Redick in that. If you want to say what Bellinelli did, he did it also as a role of coming off the bench. Now, I think if you had Buddy Hield, you're expecting him as a starter, correct?
Yeah, as a starter. And, like, the way that the style of play, because I hate the way Buddy Hield play. And I don't really like the shooting guards like a Reggie Miller, a Rip Hamilton, a guy that moves off the ball. I like a shooting guard with the ball in his hand, but Buddy Hield plays well off the ball, and I'm just thinking about that.
Wow, you didn't like the dribble handoffs with Redick when they played it like that?
Man, I wanted to get a shooting guard that would be dynamic like a Donovan Mitchell or somebody who can create his own shot and also play this off-the-ball role. But when they mostly play off the ball, you notice those players be hesitant to go to the basket to attack with layups because they're so used to pulling up for that J or playing off of that curl action.
Yeah.
Instead of letting the game become natural. And I was thinking, if J.J. Redick had success, I thought Buddy Hield might have had even more success just because he's younger and he plays that style, that catch and shoot.
Well, he's definitely
always motion.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely correct on the age-wise. He's 27. This past year, now again, he played in 64 games. He was shooting 39.5, so almost 40% from three. And he was averaging 20 points. I mean, that's a heck of a score. And
now,
what do you think about that trade? I have to go over and see the money. You said so. It's Tobias. Who else?
Josh Richardson and Zaire Smith.
All right, fine. I got no problem with that. So,
and for the Kings, it was Harrison Barnes, Hill, and Corey Joseph.
All right, Harrison Barnes is getting up there, right?
He's toast. I would hate to get him, but we don't have that dynamic three-point shooter. You know, and I was thinking Hill might have had to, you know, suck up losing Tobias for having a better shooter on the floor.
Yeah. I would explore it. I mean, I know this. The bully ball thing didn't work, and you don't have a knockdown shooter. I did not realize Buddy Hield has actually shot over 40. I mentioned he's not quite at 40 for this year, but he was 43, 43, and 427 the three previous years. So, and the last 2 years, he's been a 20-point scorer on average. I think they miss the shooting, stretching the floor more than they ever dreamed that they got from Redick for sure, and even when they had Marco coming off the bench or an Ersan Ilyasova. So from a shooting standpoint, I would have no problem. The thing is I think, you're getting a different kind of score in Buddy Hield for what Tobias gives you. And I know a lot of people don't like Tobias, but I think he gave you more than you're willing to see statistically because you see the max contract. But Buddy has a max contract.
Mm-hmm. And Harrison Barnes makes a whole lot of money.
That'd be the one part of it I wouldn't like.
Well, you know, you got to do something for them to give up Buddy Hield. But I'm looking, and to have all of these dynamic players, you know, in the process, I've thought about visions of having an all-star starting five. But the way the basketball team looks and the way Ben plays, having some specialized role players might be just what this team needs.
Sure.
To take pressure.
I would agree with that part of it. I can't see how Harrison Barnes' contract can make that happen, to be honest with you. Because I think his is a big number, as is Buddy, and you have Tobias is a big number, but Josh Richardson is not.
He's only 10. I think Zaire's, though, since he was first-round pick, is near 8. So to put it in near 15% of the two contracts, you know, so the trade could have happened.
Let's see. Corey Joseph is $12 million fine. That's Harrison Barnes, though, is 24. And Buddy Hield. Oh, Buddy is still on his rookie deal? No way. I thought he signed his max deal last year.
What you think, Dave, is the trade
man,
thumbs up
if,
or thumbs down?
If you're getting him on the rookie deal and that works, I would do that in a heartbeat. I thought they had already given him his new deal. But he's you know what it is? He's probably like Ben. He's playing on his rookie deal, but he already agreed to the max con. Yeah, the contract's already been agreed to, so it kicks in next year. So in terms of the trade, your trade deadline has already passed. So by the time you can trade for him, his new deal will have kicked in, and this does not money wise match up.
Man, well, I hope, and I got faith in Elton. Just looking at his draft pick record, you know, from him getting Shamit, finding Shake Milton, Thibault. I think that he has a great eye for talent to mold his roster, and I think we're going to have to move some money around or make a kind of trade like this or a trade with Al Horford in order to maximize this roster. Because this roster right here, I think it's a deep team, but it's just not placed together well enough to beat all different teams.
Yeah, no, they took a shot at a different style, and to date it has definitely had bumps in the road and not panned out as they had planned for it to do. Now, I mean, if they get to play some more basketball and they can show that they've learned some things or figured out how to utilize it better. And one of the things, I mean, I was in a conversation with Britt Brown probably 10 days ago, and utilizing Ben Simmons differently is definitely something they're doing, using him more as a screener and a roller, because that's strictly having him be a point guard that goes, you know, downhill. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, so, and even they have figured that out.
I will say this, though. If they're going to shorten the season and have some type of a tournament style where you play one team over and over again, mm-hmm. I do think those teams will not have a good game plan to handle Ben Simmons. Like, you have to change your whole defense to deal with the Sixers and, like, tell the players, play off of them, pack the lane. You know, they'll play all these other games normally, and playing against us, that might give us an advantage. Because, you know, the teams, they don't have no cohesion to play on the string like that. And Ben can take advantage if he ever gets a mismatch anywhere on the floor, which I'm saying a lot. Like, I like our chances if we play started up in this fashion.
Right. And if you use him as a roller or have him operate in that, you know, inside the foul line, kind of the hash mark, or, you know, mid lane, he can post people up in there. So I think I'm not taking the ball totally out of his hands, and he's great on the break, but to expand how you use him, I think is a huge advantage, because I agree with you. I think people will have trouble guarding him.
Or even making a game plan.
Yeah,
that's going to be
sure.
The key with all of these teams. They have to have their game plan. I understand how the way Milwaukee played, they're going to just have to play the way they play. And to make an adjustment for the Sixers, is the whole NBA is off. And that's what I think Elton was looking at. And it may could work, but I'm looking at some moves down the future there. We got to come up with some different trades with either Tobias or Horford.
I hear you. Well, you're going to have to see a postseason first, I hope.
I kind of thought this season was going to be scrap, and just looking forward to next season and the NBA draft.
I don't think
crowning a champion to me, it doesn't make it or break it. And if the teams have to get ready for the next season, then this will be COVID-19 asterisk, no champion.
Yeah, all right. We'll see. There was a lot of chatter this week. We'll see, though, AJ. I appreciate the phone call and the basketball talk. It's fun.
Yeah, Dave. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Have a great Sunday. I didn't realize, I went back and looked, Danny Green is the Lakers. No, not the Lakers. Yeah, the Lakers. He's on the Lakers. Lakers rep. And he was on ESPN, and they were asking him, you know, questions about what he's being told as being a player rep and the conversations he's in. But one of the things, remember yesterday how I was saying about the survey that went out to GMs? He seemed pretty talking mostly about a playoff situation and whether it would be X number of regular season, but the further that you go where you have not reconvened, that maybe then you only have time for exhibition games and kick right into the playoffs. So he was kind of leaned towards talking a lot like that. And then his other thing was that just exactly how many games would be played with a 7th, 8th, and 9th seed. So it seemed like if you were below that, you're not making the playoffs. Maybe you're participating in exhibition games, or maybe you're not even reconvening. But he seemed to be talking a lot in terms of it being a playoff scenario that at most would have 9 seeds in each conference. Now, again, he was being asked questions and he was doing the best that he's been told. But he is the player rep. That's all I'm pointing out there. 610-632-0975. Danny's with us in Delaware. Danny, thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, D, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Wanted to talk basketball, of course.
Sure.
I think this is the year where it's on Brett. Like, I think he did a good job coaching against Toronto last year. I mean, we just lost to a better team, but the way I'm looking at it is anything less than the Eastern, if he don't get to the Eastern Finals, I think he needs to go. I think we got enough talent to beat Boston. If you go back to the regular season, we beat them 3-1. Then the next round, the way it would match up, we would get Toronto. Now, I would hope that we would be ready for Toronto. I think that's where the Al Horford's going to pay the dividends, is going against a bigger team like them and then Milwaukee. I think that's looking at what Elton Brand was thinking. I think that's why he got Al Horford, is to play against Siakam, Gasol, and then the Milwaukee's to guard Giannis, have another guy at Giannis. But, I mean, with this team, honestly, the fits ain't perfect. But in the playoffs, where it does slow down, I think that's where you're going to see their best basketball, because you do slow it down. This is where you can play the defense. You got big bodies. You should be able to control the game. You got the rebounding. But, I mean, you got to get to at least the Eastern Finals. If he doesn't, then I think he needs to go. And then that's where you look to package maybe Horford and for the Buddy Hield. But I don't want to give up Tobias. I think Tobias is a good second or third option.
I do. I like Tobias more than other people do. But again, I think it's difficult for some people to look at Tobias without looking at the money attached.
Yeah, well, but I agree with that. But everyone gets paid. And, I mean, the guy put up 19 a game. And when Simmons and Embiid went down, he played a good stretch. He was averaging like 25 a game when them two, when both of them were gone. So maybe he's not your ideal, you know, but I think as a second, third scorer, I think he can. But obviously it all goes back to Ben and Embiid.
It really does. And to be honest, in the conversation with Brett Brown recently, the first name that comes out of his mouth is that he says Joel is aware, as he goes and his fitness goes, so goes their team.
I agree. Yeah. And then aggressive Ben is the best Ben, like Devon always says. I agree with that. To me, everyone focuses on a three. I want him to get to the free third line 10 to 12 times a game.
Yep.
I mean, that jumper, you can shoot that jumper all you want, but if you're not making it, what does it, I mean, you got, I mean, shoot a couple, but get to the line.
Sure.
We got the biggest team in the league. We should control the game by getting to the line. That's the key of the game.
I agree.
I've been playing basketball, watching basketball. I mean, it's common sense. You get to the line, you get your points from the line, you play good defense, you pound them on the boards. That's how you're going to win the games in the playoffs. The regular season doesn't mean nothing. I mean, you could get the home court advantage, but in the regular season, or in regular season, it's 82 games. Playoffs, you got to beat the same team 4 times.
Yep.
So strategy-wise, I mean, they can control the game. They got to play hard, play their defense, and play bully ball.
That's what they were built to do. So you're right. They got to do exactly what you said.
And then if the plan doesn't work, then that's when you look to first is Brett. I don't trade Simmons or Embiid, and then you get the shooter.
Yep. Go back to getting the shooter they had.
Yeah. Yep. They should have never went away from that. That's what always worked with Ben and Joel. You go back to the Ilyasova, Bellinelli. That's what always worked. Why we went away from that, I have no clue.
I don't know. Well, I do know. It was finances, because they were going to have to be paid more than the Sixers could, because they knew they were going to have to pay Ben and Joel. So that's how it happened. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, Danny. We'll talk again soon. 610-632-0975. Unfortunately, finances do factor in when you have a salary cap. And you have to think about those. But it doesn't mean that you can't say, wow, it was better when you had some shooters. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
This weekend's programming is brought to you by Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisanal cheeses. Just about 2:30 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm along with Tyler Zuli, and just going back to our previous caller. And I do love how people, they just want to get their teams back. And our last caller happened to be talking basketball, but Tobias always seems to come up, and he is correct. Tobias was averaging 19 points and pulling down 7 boards a game. He was shooting 47% from the floor, 36 from 3. And, you know, if he does get to the line, which he doesn't get there a ton, but he shoots 81%. I mean, his numbers aren't to be... He's also durable. They played 65 games, and he started in all 65. Is that right? Did he miss any? Let me think of their record to see. Well, of the 65, he started all 65 games. So, no, that's exactly right, because we had 17 remaining. I did just see a couple of things. One was a new thing on Major League Baseball. I don't know. To me, every time I read these, they're willing to change their stance. And then I read the article and I say, what part of this is a change in stance on either side? But apparently, this is according to Chuck Garfine of NBC Sports Chicago. And I know Chuck, so that's why it caught my eye right away. Major League Baseball and the Players Association are willing to modify their financial stances to reach a deal to potentially play a shortened 2020 campaign amid the coronavirus pandemic. The league will present a proposal to the union on Tuesday that includes an amendment to its original 50-50 split revenue sharing plan. MLBPA is expected to counter and ask for prorated salaries based on the number of contests played and a deferral of money to future seasons to help owners financially in 2020. This is what Chuck Garfine is reporting. And then he reminds people that MLB told players in mid-May that each game held without fans and with prorated salaries will cost $640,000 per game. So I guess the fact that they're saying they're willing to take a different stance on their financial way that they're seeing this, we'll see. The other thing at the end, it reminds what the players had countered. Remember, it was a 67-page proposal for health guidelines, because what has overtaken the conversation has been all about the money. But the original proposal was also included. How are we doing this that is safe and healthy? And so the players had countered with wanting the frequency of coronavirus tests, protocols for when players and employees test positive. They wanted medical personnel at ballparks. That seems obvious. Protection for players, families considered to be high risk. Access to pre- and post-game therapies and sanitation. Which led me to, Tyler, I think you'll appreciate this. I saw a report this morning on hotels, because when people start to get more mobile, the use of hotels is going to increase. So how do you I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable going into a hotel room right now, but maybe I'm being crazy. Anyhow, it actually showed the cleaning of a hotel and the sanitization of it and the wiping down everything. And the person had the mask on, their gloves, then wiping down walls, plugs, phones, everything. And then when they leave the room, there is a tape that goes across the door jamb that says this room has been sanitized. And then that, until you check in, nobody is allowed in that room. And while you're in there for your stay, instead of like where you get service every day, you don't have that. Now, if you need something, you want fresh towels, they'll bring them to your door, that kind of thing. But nobody's coming in. And that's how their new plan for sanitizing will go. Would that make you more comfortable?
I think so. I do. I think that knowing that it would be a kind of a front to back, start to finish type safety precaution, absolutely. I think that for me, and this is just personally speaking, my biggest concern would be the other people around me, you know, the other guests
in the hall. Yeah.
Right.
Who's in the room next door.
Well, right. And they say they're going to, you know, everything gets cleaned. That's fine. But I don't know, you know, and it's not a, I don't trust a person B. It's, I don't know who person A has seen and who's seen them and who's seen them. That's kind of my big concern still.
Right. And that's fair. So then it went from that's hotels to the airplanes. Now, me personally, because I used to fly quite a bit, I never felt that the changeover cleaning was very well done anyhow. I mean, how often did you still see trash in the seat pocket? And they would tell you when they would come through at the end of your flight, if you have any trash, please, you know, throw it out. They would walk down with the white bag. And yet you'd get on a plane and there'd be somebody's trash from a previous. So I never was that impressed with the cleaning of you know, changeover of planes to begin with. But now this is, you have to do something different. And but there is one airline, I believe it's overseas, that you have to raise your hand to use the restroom. And they are, yeah, I mean, they're really minimizing the use of the restrooms. And I say to myself, oh my God, I never even thought of that. But that, yeah, I don't know when I would feel comfortable on the plane until I get a vaccine, because that's small quarters. I don't know. But it makes you think of how widespread, and actually for the, they did follow a cleaning crew for a local air, or meaning a in the United States airline. And there is, you know, similar to even at a golf course, I'm seeing the way they clean their golf carts differently now to sanitize them. You know, it's not just wiping it down with a wet towel. It's really gone to a new level. So hopefully it's working. But it was quite interesting. And these are, again, industries that have been greatly impacted by, as so many of them have. On the flip side, I just saw crossing on my Twitter account the increase in bike sales, because people, rather than get on public transportation, are taking to a bike, and either they're pulling one out, an old bike they've had in their basement, or, and this one guy, he started out with that. He hadn't been on a bike since he was 15. He's 25, but he just didn't bike. And now he was riding an old bike and he just got a new one because he realizes he's biking everywhere, because he'd rather do that than get on public transportation.
That airline, by the way, that you mentioned is Ryanair.
That's
out
it.
Of Ireland.
Yep.
So they're effectively, what this article I'm reading is, they're like the cheaper alternative to certain other airlines in Europe.
Okay.
So that, but that is their...
Yeah, Ryanair.
They're hoping to return to 40% of normal flight schedule by the beginning of July. So I guess this is one way to get it going.
Unbelievable. Yeah, well, did you see the one in, it might have been Singapore Air. I know it's in Australia. Yeah, because it was, you could fly Melbourne to Sydney for the equivalent of $12 US. And it's because they're just trying to. Now, they're not capping like where you seat every one person to a row. They're not doing that. And they are handing out sanitizer when you get on, gloves. You have to have a mask. But to just get people comfortable, the equivalent of the price of that from Melbourne to Sydney was the equivalent of $12, and it was X number of change. I think it was like $12.15, something crazy. Because when my husband saw it, I remember when I was in college, there was an airline that came out, and you could fly from Los Angeles to Las Vegas for $25. And I had a friend of, you know, a sister of a friend of mine who lived there. And my sister flew from the East Coast and I flew from L.A. and we got to stay at her place. My sister was, she had been 21 that summer, so it was in the winter. And I wasn't. And I stood behind her when she was playing blackjack to tell her, like, hold that card. Give that one. My sister wasn't much of a card. She's not still to this day any part of a card player, but for $25.
That $12 flight you mentioned, by the way, it's an hour and a half flight from Melbourne to Sydney. It's an 8.5 hour drive.
Right. And I'm saying it's like going from LA to San Francisco. You're not going to take the drive for a weekend, but well, for $12.
You're not going to get gas for $12.
Exactly. But you see the point, because they need people to start to have confidence. And the way you do it, you got to make it a bargain. Tell me you wouldn't. I would have my gloves. I would do my an hour and a half. I'll take my chances.
I don't think I could.
No?
Nah, I still don't think I can. Mm. I'm super paranoid.
No, I know. Huh. I'd have to. For the $12. I know. My safety matters more. I would like to see, because I think that came out last weekend. I'd like to see how many flights they've had and how packed they were. You know, there was one United got in a little bit of trouble because a guy posted on social media. He had a picture from his seat all the way back that there was no social distancing on a particular flight. And I think they had to make some changes. And it is true. If you're asking people to social distance and then, you know, you can't do that on transportation because they do it on buses and the subway, you know, they're making you spread out. And actually, there's not a lot of. I see buses go by my neighborhood all the time. There's not many people on them. 610-632-0975. When we come back, since we were talking about these big five stats that were ones we might not have known, I'm going to go to one or two of the other categories because they did do it for the Eagles and they did it for the Sixers and Flyers. I'll check to see. Maybe they're working on the Phillies, but we'll take a look at some of those other stats for teams we think we know everything about. And yet there's things on the list that were new to me for sure. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I want to remind you that during the global pandemic, there are those on the front lines who help keep our community safe. They are the doctors, nurses, educators, and so many more. They are health heroes. And if you have a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize, go to 975thefanatic.com and nominate that person. You can check out our webpage, our social media pages, and listen on air every day to see if your health hero is the person we select. Health Heroes program is being made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps, Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers, doing whatever it takes to keep your family comfortable at home. Go to nopaybryant.com to find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help you make sure that your air conditioning system is working properly. We are all in this together. This is 97.5 The Fanatic. So we've been talking just in general about some sports things. We'll get a good idea of the match down there at Medalist Golf Club. It's supposed to get underway at 3 o'clock. And if I could just say, this is too funny. Russell Westbrook kind of took... Russell Wilson took the Happy Gilmore and put like his face and Tom Brady's on Twitter and made a great post saying, oh, we'll be looking for him on the 16th tee today. It's very well done. That is one of the fun things I think is seeing in this time where there are no sports, even those in the sports trying to keep some levity among each other. Even yesterday when Brady tweets at Eli and Phil Mickelson today, given his, what would that be? Just his, how they, his formula for the success he and Tom Brady will have today and having some fun with that. And Russell Wilson doing the same. So anyhow, it just makes for some entertainment on Memorial Day weekend. Let's check in with Shannon in Georgia. Shannon, how are you? And thank you for calling The Fanatic.
Hey, D, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call today. Hope you're doing well.
I am.
Awesome. You know, I've been thinking last few days about this whole NBA situation and how they're going to handle things. And, you know, D, I really think that they can either really knock this out the park or they can really screw it up. And I got a couple reasons why for that.
Which way are you going to go? How they can knock it out of the park first or the other way?
Yeah, if they knock it out the park by having a tournament and they've got to do it with all the teams, the only reason why you're doing this really is for the TV revenue. That's the bottom line. And I think that people will really struggle with this watching the game without the fans because it's going to come off a little scrimmagey.
Sure, so I think, absolutely.
Yeah, And you don't want that. And if those games are meaningless scrimmage games, regular season games, I'm sorry, but people just aren't going to turn into that. And then you would cheapen the NBA championship if you try to equate whatever they do this year with, you know, all the previous champions over the last 70 years of the NBA. It can't be the same. So I believe if they just say, hey, we're going to do a 5 to 6 week tournament, all the teams are going to be in here because I want the draws. You know, as I was talking to Devon yesterday, you know, it would be silly to have 16 teams because your number one draw in the NBA, from what I understood, was Zion Williamson this past season. And for him not to be, you know, in this, which is all about TV dollars, would be silly. So if you put all the teams in there, you know, get rid of this 7-game series. Don't have any series over 5 games. And maybe that's the last that, you know, would be like the finals. But if you do it that way, and you would get, I think you would get more people involved and more people interested in it. Anything else, and I'm one of the biggest NBA fans you'll find, D. You know, even I wouldn't be interested.
Well,
if it's any different than that.
All right. The one thing is about the exhibition games. The only reason they're doing the exhibition games is to get them back in playing shape that you can't get just by being in your own gym practicing. So that's the only reason they have exhibition games scheduled or planned.
But D, that's where you can change it up a little bit. You know, I mean, there's no exhibition games before the NCAA tournament. Yet now, granted, they have a season and they're pretty fresh coming off.
Yeah, that's.
But once again, this is it's different. This is not regular NBA that we're used to. We'll deal with that next season. But this year is something to draw excitement, you know, for NBA fans that are dying for basketball right now, and at the same time realizing that, you know, the product on the floor is going to be a shell of itself based upon the reason that these guys are going to have 2 to 3 weeks to get in shape. And then secondly, there's no, you know, there's no atmosphere, you know, that we're accustomed to. You know, these guys are going to be in a gym. So you got to change it up a little bit.
I hear you about changing it up, but I mean, I'm just telling you, it's like saying I can't go to the practice range before I'm going to play in a golf match. That's just ridiculous. Of course I'm going to go if I can. So if they want to have three exhibition games to get in basketball playing shape against another opponent, which I'm not saying that's, you know, it's three games. And whether they want to televise that or that's considered as part of that practice of 3 weeks, so be it. And then they can do a playoff setting. I don't think that all 30 teams should be in it. I don't think anybody's interested in seeing the Cleveland Cavaliers. I see your point of it being interested in Zion and, of course, the way he was playing when the season was ending. And so that's why, considering they happen to be the 10th seed, I won't be surprised if it's the 10th seed through the 7th seed have some kind of play-in, but the others are solid in where their standing was before it all went down.
And let me just come back at you on 2 points. First of all, scrimmage against other teams, okay? In my opinion, this is, once again, if my players are professional athletes, they're keeping themselves in somewhat shape, you know, and I have no mercies or forgiveness for them. I'm paying them too much money not to at least honor their bodies and keep them in somewhat shape, okay? They can scrimmage against their own teams. These teams carrying 12 to 15 players, they're all NBA players. I don't think the guys would be going full out if they were having scrimmage games on top of these exhibition games. And then your last point, which I'm forgetting right now, if I am Sacramento, which is a horribly run organization, in my personal opinion, or San Antonio Spurs, you mean to tell me because I was three games out of the playoffs that I can't participate in this and my fan base can't, you know, get excited as well because you're kicking me out because I'm not top 16? Or if I'm Golden State and my players are healthy now, you know, and we could easily, with a healthy roster, maybe compete for the championship of this little tournament thing. But you're saying I can't get in now and I got Steph Curry, maybe the top five draw in the NBA? You know, so
If I can get a word in edgewise, Shannon. So you have certain rules for you that work for you because it was a pandemic, but rules that I see that work for a pandemic, I'm being ridiculous. I appreciate your thoughts, but I don't appreciate you laughing at my thought of where you earned your right to be to this point can be considered, you know, that's where this season is. Not my fault that Zion was hurt in the beginning, and so they're 10th in the thing. Not my fault that Steph and Clay were hurt, and they're at the bottom with 15 wins. That's the other people have earned the right with what? The Lakers don't have a greater right to being able to get to the finals than the Golden State Warriors? Please.
I understand your point, Dee, but we cannot compare this. You see,
we can't. So then I'm going to just tell you that they are staying in shape. But you and I both know there's nothing that equals getting up and down on court. That even if you have taken care of your body and you're trying to lift weights in your apartment by yourself when you've been shut in for 2.5 months. So forgive me that I particularly, as a basketball fan, understand that organizations and players might want to have exhibition games. That's just my point, Shannon. I get that you have a different point.
Yeah, and that's fine, and you're entitled to it, and I appreciate the passion. I'm not criticizing your point. I'm just looking at it in a sense where I think it's more fair, you know, if it's not in any way, shape, or form trying to be compared or like we're just continuing the season, because it's not the same.
All right. It's not the same. The NHL has decided it's 24 teams. The NBA has.
Bad decision.
And okay. Well, I figured you would think that was a bad decision. And the NBA has sent out a survey asking how many teams do each of the GMs think. It's not, they don't necessarily get a vote. He's taking a poll. And so we'll see what number they come up with. I think it's not going to be the entire 30.
I understand.
All right.
That's, you know. Fair enough.
Have a great rest of
your day. Always appreciate it.
Thank you. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Yeah, I mean, you look, everybody has a difference of opinion, you know, and some want the whole 30 in. I don't know what that would look like. And while you can find an argument for a Golden State that has a Steph who is a huge draw and a Klay Thompson huge draw, I would say that, you know, the way Minnesota's playing, I brought up Cleveland. You know, you can find an argument for Atlanta because Trae Young is there. I get it. But, you know, there was more. I mean, there were 17 games remaining in a season. Much of the season has been played. You know, the Sixers should have to pay a penalty for being in the sixth seed. That's all they earned. I'm not trying to make an excuse for them. They don't deserve anything better. They're in the playoff picture. Now, fortunately for teams that are 5, 6, 7, 8, that home court advantage isn't going to be, it's not going to be a loss for you now. And I feel bad for the teams that earned the right to have home court. Can you imagine if you're the Lakers and you're Milwaukee? You know, you earned the right to hopefully have it on your home court. And if a seventh game happened, you know, you got your crowd behind you. 610-632-0975. It is correct. Not all things are fair. And this is unique circumstances. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.